If you're not concerned, I mean, I don't know where you've been. You got your head stuck in the sand? You know, I mean, how about food prices? I tell you, I went this week to order the food that we're going to have this afternoon. And when I went to the deli and I ordered this a six-foot hero and a tray, whatever, and I see him ringing it up on the thing, and he gets all done, and I said, is that an order for somebody else? That's not mine, is it? He says, yeah. I says, you got to be kidding me. I mean, it was like $120 for a six-foot hero. I mean, 6 months ago, they were $80. You can get that six. Everything is going crazy. I went to the gas station last week to fill up my car, $105 to fill the tank. I mean, I don't know. Anybody have any IRAs? 401Ks, 403Bs, all these things with all these numbers? Anybody concerned? I go online sometimes and just to check. And I go, ooh, delete. Hit the delete button. I'd rather not see what's going on because there certainly is an awful lot. And we say to each other, come on, don't you catch yourself talking with everybody going, this is crazy. The world's gone crazy. What is going on here? I can't believe what's going on. And I don't understand why we say that. We know what the book says, right? Doesn't he say there's going to be hard times? There's going to be perilous times? They're going to be crazy? And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's, you know, we're waiting for things to get better. I mean, I'd love a little breather, too. You know, I hope my IRAs go up a little bit before I retire. I wish I had listened to my wife about a year ago and said, let's take it all out. But no, I didn't listen. I should have. Sorry. You know what? I didn't take it out because I knew there'd be a tremendous tax burden. And I'd end up having to pay a lot. I've lost more than I would have paid if I had taken it out. So, you know, you can never anticipate. But we are living in a crazy world, and we shouldn't be surprised at what's going on. The greed of the world, it's all about the money making. Gas is going through the season. Wait till next quarter's figures come out on what ExxonMobil made. It'll be $40 billion more than they made before. Why? They shouldn't make anything more. Well, prices go up, their prices go up. It should stay the same, the margin of it. Whatever, that's not where I'm going. But why are we surprised? But if you've got concerns, it's okay to be concerned. There's nothing wrong with being concerned. There's a lot of things that do concern us. I can remember, I've got four boys, and each one grew up, and it was time for them to get their license. You know, and I took each one of them to the DMV, and they took the written test or whatever. You schedule the road test, and you do all of that. And I can remember the day each one of them, I can remember standing at the window and watching them drive away for the first time. I was concerned. I knew I had taught them. I knew they had passed the test. Some of them took driver's ed and all of that. But I was genuinely concerned. Not so much for their ability or skill to drive, because they all had proven to me and shown me that they can. And they're logical and they know. But there's crazy people out there who don't know what they're doing. So it's okay to have concerns. But when those concerns shift and become heavy burdens and cares and start to create anxiety within us, now we're entering into a different realm, a realm that the Lord has taught us well to avoid. And take the scripture in Psalm 55:22. It says, cast thy burden, or another version would say, cast thy cares upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So we're supposed to take all those cares, those burdens, and just cast them on the Lord. Now you say, well, what does it mean to cast? Now, the first thing I thought of when you hear the word cast, you see a guy on the shore of a lake with one of those, I think they call them a fly, fishing rod, and they're doing this. And he casts it out there. And the lure or the bait or whatever goes out there, and it's like throwing it away. And now he just stands there and waits to see if anything is going to happen. But when you cast something, you let go of it. That's what God is telling us. Let go of those cares, those extreme concerns that lead to anxiety. Lay them upon him. Those heavy burdens. When I think of a burden, you ever see the pictures sometimes in the old Western movies and you'd see a mule or a donkey? And he's loaded mud on to the hilt with all this stuff. They're going to go mining or they're going to go whatever they're going to do. And there's this poor mule with this load on his back. Or an ox. You see an ox with the yoke and they're pulling this heavy cart. That's a burden. God doesn't want us to carry them. He tells us, cast them on me. My shoulders are strong, is what he's telling us. I can carry your burdens for you. He tells us over and over and over again because he cares. He cares about us. He genuinely cares about us. You know, I've shared a story, I want to just share something. I've said it before, but in a different context. Years ago, there used to be a woman in our church. She's long moved on to Pennsylvania, whatever. She used to work with me in the school. She was one of our teachers. And her favorite expression, and she'd do it to me all the time, I'd be maybe as the principal of the school talking with a disgruntled parent in the hallway. And then, you know, I'm trying to calm them down and whatever. And she'd go behind them where they couldn't see her. And she'd go like this, who cares? And she actually did that once when I was preaching. She held up a sign from the chair. Who cares? I wanted to kill her. You know, and we very often, when we see each other, we came in this morning, you see somebody you haven't seen in at least a week, probably 99 times out of 100, you greet each other, hey Rich, how you doing? I didn't ask him because I really care about how he's doing. It's just not that I don't care, but it's just an expression. You see somebody, how you doing? I can remember years ago, and I've shared this too, we used to have a lady in the church, an older lady, and you don't ever want to ask her how she's doing. You really didn't want to do that because she'll go on for the next hour telling you how she's doing. And she used to call me sometimes at home. This was even before we were pastors, but for different reasons. And I made a vow to myself when I answer the phone, because you see the caller ID or whatever, I'm not going to say how you doing. Sure enough, this one day the phone rings and I say, oh, don't you know, I pick up the phone. Hi, so-and-so, how you doing? And that was it for about the next 20 minutes at least. But the thing is, you see, we use it sometimes just as an expression. God really does care how we're doing. He really does care. And he wants us to give him all our craziness, all our burdens, all our cares, all our anxiety. He wants to take it upon himself. And you know, here's the reason why. One of the reasons why. Care, worry, anxiety, even when it's for legitimate reasons. Like I was saying, you watch your kids drive off for the first time. You know what I'm saying? There are plenty of reasons for us to have concerns. And they sometimes turn into a little bit of worry or anxiety. But the thing is, when they're carried to the extreme, in a sense, they can become sinful. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean by that. You see, there are many teachings. The Lord himself taught us many, many times in Scripture about not worrying, not caring, not don't being anxious, over and over again. And then his disciples, in their teachings, over and over and over again. The reason being, because they knew that if we neglected to cast them upon the Father's shoulders, that it could lead us into sinful actions. There are many scriptures. Let's just go through a few. Maybe I'll ask you, somebody look up Philippians 4:5. 4:5. Somebody look up Matthew 11. Philippians 4:5. Anybody have it? Come on. You guys are slow. Jeff, you have it?
Yeah.
Philippians 4:5. Go ahead, read it out nice and loud.
Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near.
In another version, it says, be careful or anxious.
No, that's 6.
Okay, 6. Be careful.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request.
Right. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Not most things, but you could be anxious for this. He says, be anxious for nothing. How about, did someone look up Matthew 11? 28.
Come unto me, all ye that labor. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am weary and lowly in heart, and shall find rest unto your soul.
Amen. You're weary, you're burdened, you're tired of all the stuff that's going on. Every day you get up, it's something else. Give it all to him. Go to the Lord. Lay it at his feet. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, pray to me when you're in trouble. He says, pray to me when you're in trouble. How about Matthew 6? Someone look at Matthew 6, 31. Matthew 6, 31. Right. Don't worry about, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. And he goes on and he says, I take care of even the birds of the air. Well, they don't toil for anything. But if I could take care of them, don't you think I could take care of you? And then in Luke chapter 12, he says, who of you by worrying can even add a moment to your life? Who of you, in fact, you worry enough, you'll take a few moments away. I guarantee you. So many people stress, the stress of worrying, the stress of grief, the stress of burdens. Look at, I know it doesn't exactly apply, but look at that poor man who down in that horrible shooting down in Texas, and his wife was one, I think one of the teachers who got shot and killed. And I think a day or two later, he died of a heart attack. The grief, the stress, probably the anxiety. Well, how am I going to go on without them? The children? The poor man had a heart attack. Forget about adding anything to your life. You can easily take it away from your life. And then in Proverbs 3, you know, we know what, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. What did I do? I just shut this off. I'm good at that. He wants us to lean on him. He wants us to call on him. He knows he has the answers for us. And he knows he can do what we can't. You see, that's the key. We think we can control everything. We think we can do everything. We think we can correct everything. His teachings go on and on and on. You see, the very nature, the very core of anxiety is the thinking that we're wiser than God. Think about it for a minute. Sometimes we think we're wise. Why? That the things he's promised to do, he may not do. He may be too busy. Maybe he's over in the Ukraine today, and he's worrying about those people over there trying to resolve that situation. And what I'm going through over here, he really doesn't have time for that. So we become anxious, and we start taking upon ourselves the need to do something about that situation. And sometimes we'll think that the things that really are important to us, he may forget. He's a busy, busy God. He's got a whole universe to take care of. But that's not true. He cares about you individually, personally. The things you're going through, the things that concern you, concern him. You may share with me what concerns you, and I may, in my mind, not say it, but I may say, man, that's not really such a big deal. If you only knew what I was going through, that's nothing compared to what I'm going through or what I know so-and-so is going through. But to God, your concern is his concern. Your little concern is his big concern. And you see what happens. If we disobey his teachings, which are, cast all your burdens, all your cares upon me, and let me take care of it. This is actually disbelief in his word. If you don't do that, then you're really subliminally expressing that you don't really believe that he will. He says he will, but I'm not quite sure. Is God going to really take care of this one? Maybe I have to take it upon myself. And you know what happens? You take it upon yourself. That anxious care will lead you into acts of sin. It will lead you to doing things you shouldn't do, and you know you shouldn't do. If we can't leave our concerns in God's hands, but instead carry our own burdens, contrary to what he says we should do, we're tempted to use wrong motives, wrong means to correct the situation. You may be going through, now I'm not going to say this because of what I said earlier, but maybe you're going through some really tough financial situation. You're really struggling. Maybe you got laid off and you're living on unemployment now. And it's just barely enough, or maybe not even enough, to meet your rent or your mortgage or your food or whatever. So what do you say? Well, you know what? I think I'm going to hold back on my tithes for a while. I really can't afford to be giving to the ministry when I can't even put food on my table. But God didn't say to give out of your abundance. It's a command of his that we should give the first fruits of everything we earn. So you see, because of the pressure and the anxiety of the financial situation you're in, you're led to do something that's in direct disobedience to what the Word of God says. Or maybe you might be led to, maybe you got to buy something and you say to God, hey, listen, if I give you cash, can you save me the sales tax? Anybody been there? Or maybe if you're doing your income tax, you claim a little something here, you claim a little something there that you really shouldn't. But you know, who's going to find it? Who's going to know? This is what anxiety does to us. When we keep those cares, those burdens that the Lord is saying, give to me, it will lead us to trying to help ourselves by our own means and get us into big trouble. Understand? It really does. You begin forsaking God as your counselor. And you start leaning on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He tells us, don't lean on your own understanding. I know you think you know better. I know you think you have all the answers. And I know you think, you know, what's best for the situation. But God tells us directly, don't trust yourself. He actually tells us, don't trust yourself. Sometimes your own mind, your own thinking is your worst enemy. This is something in the scriptures talk about going to the broken cistern, broken well. This is something that Israel was guilty of way back when. Not trusting in God. You remember when they wanted a king? Like, no, you don't need a king. What do you want a king for? Basically, he was saying, you got me. No, we want a king. You want a king? Okay, you got a king. Boy, were they sorry about that, right? But in their own human wisdom, they thought they knew better than God. Anxiety makes us doubt God's loving kindness. Doubt that he really cares enough. That he really cares enough to take care of this. Now listen, I'm preaching to myself. You think, I'm no different than you. There are things that concern me. There are things that really worry me. There are things that sometimes burdens that I carry that I really shouldn't carry. We all do it, every single one of us. But we've got to learn to cast them upon, especially in the day and age that we live in now. You know, I can remember up until maybe a little less than 10 years ago. And I'm not bragging, but I actually kind of felt so confident that there was nothing that could come my way that I couldn't take care of. I could handle. I could find a way, whether it was the church, whether it was the school, whether it was my personal life, a family, whatever the case. Bring it to me. I almost bought a t-shirt. Now, you ever get these ads on Facebook or whatever, and these t-shirts, and they have your family name on it? And I got this one. I almost said for it, but I said I'd be too embarrassed to wear it. It said something like, if Eugene can't fix it, nobody can. But even the situations in the world, I've always been an optimist. No matter what was going on, it's going to get better. It's going to be all right. It's going to turn around. You watch. But I guess maybe 7, 8 years or so ago, it really just hit me. It's not going to get better. And there's nothing we can do about it. You can sit around the table this afternoon or with your family and complain till the cows come home and say it's all this one's fault, that one's fault, this and that, and we should be doing this and we should, and nothing's going to change. There's an agenda out there. But guess what? God's got it all under control. He's got it all under control. He's not surprised. He's not up on his throne going, oh, well, he can't say, oh, my God. But, you know, oh, wow, I can't believe what they just did. Oh, what should we do? No. He knows the end from the beginning. You think he's surprised by your prayers. He knew what you were going to pray before you prayed it. And you know what happens when we doubt his loving kindness? Our love to him starts to grow cold. We don't trust him quite as much anymore. And that leads to grieving the Spirit of God. And when we grieve the Spirit of God, what happens? Our prayers are hindered. But something really very important happens. Our testimony is tarnished. You see, you're a walking testimony. People are watching you. People are watching. I don't care. You may say, well, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a worship leader, I'm not. No. People, if anybody knows you're a Christian, your neighbor, the clerk in the Stop and Shop, whatever, if for some reason, somehow, they're watching you. And when you slip up, they're going to say, uh-huh, you see? They call themselves a Christian. Look at what they're doing. When you lose that trust in God, that faith in God, that relationship with God, your testimony suffers. It becomes tarnished. They see you making a little mistake here, making a little mistake. And your testimony is your most powerful tool, most powerful witness. And you don't even realize what you're broadcasting out there, good or bad. Praise God, I hope most of it is good and they see you and they want. My prayer is always, I pray that They see in me what I see in him. Please let them see in me what I see in him. Don't let them see in me who I am, but who I am in him. Because your testimony is so important. It's what will lead. You know, what is the most important thing we have to do on this earth while we're still here? It's try and lead others to the Lord. That's why you were saved. You weren't saved because you're somebody special. He doesn't love you more than some of those others out there. He loves us all. And he saves you so you can save your children, you can save your grandchildren, you can save your neighbors. Not you can save, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm talking about. Your witness, your sharing, your life, somehow. They see something in you. I can remember when my wife's dad was passing, very sick, and he finally died and we were upstate, and his brother-in-law, my wife's uncle, he was a tough character. He was, and you know, we had tried through the years to witness to him, and but it was to no avail. He was in the world, and he was making money hand over fist and doing whatever he can under the table and this and that. It didn't matter. But he came up for the funeral because they were close, and we had a next to my father-in-law's house. We had a little place too. So after the getting together, after the funeral and this and that, and he was staying in our house with us, and we come in, we walk in the house, turn on the lights, and we say, you want anything? You want a cup of coffee? You know. He says, I want what you have. My wife says, well, I'm gonna have a cup of coffee. You want a cup of coffee? He says, no, I want what you have. He says, I don't understand. What do you mean I want what you have? And then he let us know. No. What is it about you? You've got a certain peace about you. There's something about you that I want. I'm missing. We weren't doing it. We weren't witnessing anymore to him at that time. But he saw that even through this difficult trial of losing her dad and so on and so forth, there was a certain peace that passes understanding that people will see in you and say, I want that. I may not be so sure about your Bible and all the things you're saying and this and that, but there's something in you. That's what attracts them more than anything else. You can get beat over the head with a Bible, and it's not going to save anybody. We first got saved attending a prayer meeting in someone's home, my brother's home, which we went to kicking and screaming and didn't want to go, and just saying to ourselves, let's go to their stupid prayer meeting so we can tell them it's nice for you, leave us alone. And while sitting there, a brother got up and began sharing his testimony, and it touched our lives. That when it came to time, did anybody here that would like to receive the Lord? We both shocked each other because we both jumped up out of our seats. And what are we doing? But it was that testimony. It wasn't the preaching. It wasn't the Bible. It wasn't the scripture. It was the testimony of God's goodness and his faithfulness and his power to deliver and to save and to keep. That's what touched our lives. So guard your testimony, because people are watching. When we no longer have confidence in God, we wander away from him. Come on. We've all been there. We've all been there. We wander away a little bit. And then usually he'll allow something to come into your life where it's like somebody smacking you in the back of the head. What are you doing? You say, oh. Wake up. Yeah, wake up. It's a wake-up call. But, and you know I've always shared how much I love the buts in the Bible. This is a big but. If we, through consistent faith in all his promises, we truly cast all our burdens as they come, you know, don't get up in the morning and say, anything that comes my way, the Lord, anything that happens to me today, it's yours, take care of it. That's like, you know, I kind of chuckle. I mean, I understand the intent of the heart, but I kind of chuckled inside myself quietly, and nobody sees, when somebody prays, "Lord, save the world." Well, you know that's not going to happen. Why do you even pray that? If it was that simple, the whole world would be saved already. But as the situations arise, as something that grabs your attention, your care, your concern, borderline anxious, borderline worrying, you say, "Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Wait a minute. No, this is yours. I can't do anything about this. This is out of my control. It's in your hands. Take it, Lord, please. Take it from me, and you take care of it. Cast each burden as they come upon him, and be anxious for nothing." Because he cares for you, is what it says. Because he cares for you. Not because he's God, who can do everything and anything he wants to do, because he genuinely cares for you. One of the greatest, what would be the word? Not realizations, the greatest thing that came to mind once many, many years ago. I mean, I had learned through scripture and teaching and Bible study, God loves you, God loves you, God loves me, God loves you, God loves everybody, God loves me, I know he loves me. He wouldn't have gone to the cross for me if he didn't love me. But then all of a sudden, one day I got this, and this may sound a little strange, but all of a sudden it's like God whispered in my ear, "I not only love you, but I like you." I don't, that meant the world to me. That I like you. When you like somebody, you care about them. You genuinely care. You don't just walk up and say, "Hey, how you doing?" No, you care about them, that when they say, "Well, actually, I'm really struggling. I lost my job and they're about to repossess my car," that your next response isn't, "Well, I'll be praying for you and I'll press it down the prayer chain," which more than likely you won't. But your next response might be, "How can I help?" When you really care, you'll say, "How can I help? You know, we got an extra car. My wife could give up a car for a few days if you need a car to get back and forth to work. Or, how can I help?" That's when you really care. See, that's the kind of God is. When you cast your cares and your burdens and your anxiety on him, he's in a sense saying, "How can I help? What can I do?" And he knows what to do. And he will do it. Amen?
Amen.
And then what happens then, that enables us to resist the temptation to take things into our own hands. Because that's what happens. The temptation comes along and we want to take all the situation. "Well, you know what I'll do? I'll go to the bank and I'll do this, and maybe I can get a second mortgage on my house or take out a home equity loan." And you get yourself in all kinds of trouble. When God can really deal with the situation. And I'm going to close with this. I love this portion of scripture, this verse, because it says so much in so few words. Isaiah 26:3, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." He'll keep us in perfect peace if we keep our mind focused on him and what he can do, if we just give him all our cares and we give him all our burdens. Amen?
Amen?
One at a time, as they come along, day by day. And if ever we needed to do that, boy, it's more and more the day and hour that we're living in today. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Stand with me. Heavenly Father, we ask you, I want to ask you, first of all, help us. Help. Help, Lord. Help us. Help us to maneuver through these muddy waters that we're living in, these difficult times that we're trying to find our way through, where there doesn't seem to be any answer. That each day as we put on the TV or the radio or pick up a paper and we hear about another shooting or another this or another that. It becomes so disheartening, Lord. So we ask you help, Lord. Help us touch our minds. May we recall how faithful you are. May we always recall how faithful you are. And as that old song says, the blessed assurance that you are ours to watch over us and you truly do care for us. Help us, Lord, as each care, as each burden, as each concern comes our way, to be able to turn them over to you. And you may in turn give us the wisdom to know what to do, but that we wouldn't lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge you. Father, show us that you have everything under control, because we know you do. But Father, may it be applied to the situations in our lives as we walk through them. Father, we trust you, we love you, we lean upon you more than ever before. And we ask you, Lord, we give you permission to intervene in our lives. Take control of the reins of our lives. Smack us in the back of the head when you need to wake us up and shake us up, so that we truly would do what your word says to do, to lean on your promises, hold you to your promises, trust in you, love you, turn all our cares and burdens over to you, and you will direct our paths, and you will sustain us and keep us. Father, we thank you in advance for all the things that you're going to do. We thank you for all the things you've already done in our lives. Father, we don't have enough paper and pencil to count down all the blessings we have. But Father, we thank you for what you're going to do and how you're going to keep us. And we'll always give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, as we said, we're going to open the cafe. Those of you who can stay, join us. Let's have a wonderful time as we celebrate our precious brother and sister who are about to go back out on the mission field. Love you all.